Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. We're going to be studying about tithes and offerings today. Tithes and offerings. Let's read the passage. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, this passage of Scripture that I've just read here is often preached in churches. I've heard it preached in churches to direct saints of God in tithing to the church. But truthfully, this passage of Scripture is not addressed to the church. That's not the audience. Before we finish this broadcast today, we will make application in this passage of Scripture to the church. But that's only a spiritual application. Doctrinally speaking, this is not written to the church. It is written to the nation. That is, the nation of Israel. This whole passage that we've been reading here in Malachi chapter 3 is directed to Israel. And when he says, will a man rob God? You've robbed me, because you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. That's Israel. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. That's the temple. So to take this doctrinally as instruction to the church would be wrong. To take this spiritually as instruction to the church would be okay if you put it with other passages of Scripture to teach this in the proper perspective. And we'll look at that today. Now, these promises that are in here are not promises that are made really and truly to us. He says, prove me if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Well, now, do you know when the Lord opens the windows of heaven how big that blessing is? I mean, just think about when the windows of heaven opened during Noah's flood. There was enough water that came out of there to cover the entire earth over the tops of the mountains 15 cubits. You're talking about a tremendous amount of water, a tremendous amount of blessing that's opened up by the Lord in the windows of heaven. Now, the windows of heaven are opened, if you think about it, to bring showers, pour you out a blessing, not room enough to receive it. In other words, the right kind of rain at the right time to make a bountiful harvest. There was a time when Abraham increased 100-fold, or Isaac, excuse me, increased 100-fold in a foreign country. God really blessed him. Now, the devourer, he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. You don't garden, I mean, not to live. Maybe you do, but you're an exception these days. People have a job and they go to the grocery store and they buy groceries. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. You're not a vine dresser. You're a plumber or an accountant or a banker or an oil field worker or a gauger or a fence builder. You're a cowboy. You're an engineer. You're retired. You know, in other words, you do not depend upon, for the most part, production from the land, vines, and the fruit of your ground in order to live, unless you're a farmer, okay? Verse 12, all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, if this were written to individuals, how are individuals going to be a delightsome land? All nations call you blessed? You see, doctrinally, this is not really written to you. No nation would even take note if you were tithing in your church. They wouldn't concern themselves with that at all. Listen, Paul was an excellent saint of God, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. And Paul wrote extensively on giving and said, among other things, God loveth a cheerful giver and things like that. But do you know something? As far as the windows of heaven opening and the blessing to Paul and devouring rebuking the devourer for his sake, his vine not casting her fruit, not destroying the fruits of the ground, all nations calling you blessed. They didn't call him blessed. By the time he was giving, defense before Caesar, he'd already been accused by his own countrymen. He'd been stoned in Lystra and Derbe. He'd been imprisoned in Philippi. He'd been beaten and whipped. He'd been sitting up on a ship to Caesar as a prisoner and nearly died in a shipwreck. God spared him and all the people that were with him. And when he got ready to give his last defense, he was all alone except for Luke. Only Luke is with me. They weren't calling him blessed. He wasn't a delightsome land. He didn't have a field for a vine to cast fruit in or not cast fruit. Because Paul forsook it all to go serve God, you see. Now, was he a cheerful giver? He wouldn't have written what he wrote if he wasn't. I mean, he gave his time and gave his labor so that when he went to certain churches, he didn't have to depend upon them for a dime. Jesus Christ, the greatest giver of all time, he gave his own life, died penniless and propertyless and possessionless. You got it? Naked on a tree in front of his own mother. But he was the greatest giver of all time. So the idea that you give and therefore you are going to be blessed with prosperity didn't happen to Paul, didn't happen to Jesus Christ, and those are two of the finest men that ever lived. Yet this passage of Scripture that we're reading here is true, and the truth of it is seen in Israel, to whom it is doctrinally written. Now let's look at some things concerning the tithe and the offerings that are listed here. The first thing you want to notice, because this is what causes us to continue to preach the tithe, spiritually speaking, in the New Testament. I realize there are men that don't agree with that. But we take the Bible at its word, and he says in Leviticus chapter 27, watch it, verse 30, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed, of the land, or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And he defines that tithe as a tenth in verse 32. Now, who does the tithe belong to? It belongs to the Lord. So for a person to say, I am giving my tithe, as if he is doing God a favor, it would be incorrect. He's doing himself a favor. He is returning to God something that is rightfully God's. And over that, if he does more, then it's an offering. Tithes and offerings is what Malachi chapter 3 called it. So the first thing to know, and you want to remember this, is that the tithe is the Lord's, and really nothing about that has changed in the New Testament. The tithe is still the Lord's. All right, and then he says here in verse, in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, he says something about the store of possession of the crops and so forth. Now listen, in the passage we're studying, Malachi chapter 3, he says, bring ye all the tithes, all right, the tithes of the Lord's, into the storehouse. Excuse me, I've been to a lot of churches. I think you have too. And I have yet to see a storehouse. I've seen a store, a bookstore, and I've seen a coffee shop, albeit not in many, but there are some of these larger churches that got a coffee shop. But a storehouse? Uh-uh. I mean, a place where guys can drive up with their grain truck and dump a load of grain there and store it? Not in the church. And so when he says into the storehouse, doctrinally speaking, he's speaking about something that is connected with God's temple, where things that are given over and above what can be consumed at the time is stored. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 10. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings unto the Lord of into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people. And that which is left is this great store. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them, and brought in the offerings, and the tithes, and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Kenaniah the Levite was ruler, and Shimei, his brother, was the next. Now notice that. They were bringing tithes, and they were bringing offerings, and the Levites had plenty. And the people were blessed, and they ended up with a great store of things down at the temple. That's the storehouse, see? And in Hezekiah's day, they proved the Lord, and they found that what he had said was true. The nation was blessed. Now, go back here to Malachi chapter 3, and he says, bring all the tithes, that's the Lord's, into the storehouse. Well, you saw that in Hezekiah's day, that there may be meat in mine house. Well, that meat in mine house is for a reason. It is to be given for the maintenance of the Levites and the priests. That's what it's for. Look in Numbers chapter 18, verse 26. Numbers chapter 18, verse 26. This is what the tithe was for. It wasn't just for an exercise on the part of the people. The Levites and the priests did not have inheritance among the Israelites. And so, God simply said, I want you to give a tenth of what you have, and that'll take care of the Levites, and that'll take care of the priests, and that'll take care of my house. That's what the tithe was for. Numbers chapter 18, verse 26. Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe, and this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus also ye shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes which you receive of the children of Israel, and you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. So Numbers 18, verses 26 to 28 show you clearly that when the children of Israel tithed, the tithe went to the Levites. When the Levites received the tithe, they made an heave offering. They tithed off of the tithe that they received and gave that to Aaron and to his sons for the support of the men in the ministry. Look in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10. And notice even in Nehemiah's day, that the tithe is something that had to go on. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10. All right, the Bible says this, I perceive that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Why? They had to go get some work so they could eat. Then contend I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? See that? He said, bring all the tithes into my storehouse. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. See that? And that's what Nehemiah is referring to here. He says, then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and of the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries. Now that's what they were supposed to do, bring it into the treasury, bring it into the storehouse, and then take care of the Levites and take care of the priests so they didn't have to go, well, they didn't have an inheritance, they could work anyway. in order to be able to feed themselves and take care of the temple too, and so they wouldn't be distracted by that kind of work. God said, you guys take care of them and give them the tithe. All right, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring you all the tithes. We understand those are the Lord's. Into the storehouse, we understand that's the place where the tithes are stored at the temple. That there may be meat in mine house, okay, that's the temple. And it's there in mine house to take care of the Levites and the priests. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. A delightsome land. Well, let me say this, huh? It's a delightsome land when they tithe and not a delightsome land when they don't tithe. Okay? Now, you've got this promise here of God. There is a devourer, and the devourer will destroy the fruits of your ground. But if you're tithing, he said, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he won't destroy the fruits of your ground. And he said, there's a devourer. And it'll cause the vine to cast her fruit before the time in the field. But if you tithe, I will rebuke the devourer, and your vine will not cast her fruit before the time. And he says, I will make sure that all the nations of the earth call you blessed. They don't do that right now. For you shall be a delightsome land, not in Israel, not right now. I mean, it's delightsome to some, and it's certainly delightsome to us as Bible believers, but the rest of the world has a completely different attitude. They have the attitude like Ezra chapter 4 and verse 15. Okay, Ezra chapter 4 and verse 15. Here's the world's attitude. It's just like these men back in this day. Ezra 4:15. A group got up against the Jews, rebuilding the wall and rebuilding the temple. So a letter was written to Artaxerxes expressing the disgust that the people had with the idea that Jerusalem would be rebuilt. All right. In Ezra chapter 4, verse 12, they said this, be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are coming unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. All right, now the warning is in verse 13, if you let them get away with this, they're going to quit paying toll and tribute to you, and it's going to endanger your revenue. Verse 15 says, that search may be found in the book of the records of thy fathers, so shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed? Well, that is not a delightsome land. And that's the attitude of the world whenever Israel's not tithing like God told them that he wanted them to do. They hate the city. So he gives them promises on the one hand, I'll open the windows of heaven, I'll pour you out a blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it. And then he gives them curses on the other hand for robbery, for not paying the tithe, because God owns it and God gets the tithe anyway. These curses and these blessings that are detailed here in Malachi chapter 3 are very similar to the blessings and the cursings that were promised in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in Leviticus chapter 26. We've referred to those passages several times in dealing with these prophecies. Basically, on the one hand, God said, if you serve me, if you keep the ordinances, you do what I tell you, he said, I'm going to load you up. I'm going to load you up. I'm going to bless you. Verse 1, I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm going to set you on high above all nations of the earth. And I'm going to give you a lot of blessings, he says in verse 2. I'm going to bless you in the city and bless you in the field, verse 3. Bless the fruit of thy body, bless the fruit of thy ground, bless the fruit of thy cattle, increase of thy kind, flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket, and blessed shall be thy store. Where does the store go? It goes in the storehouse. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. What, running for the hills, man. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. and in all that thou settest thine hand to, and so forth and so on. And then suddenly he says, and if you don't hearken unto me, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, he says, then I'll bless you. But he says, if thou wilt not hearken, in verse 15, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come on thee and overtake thee. What's going to be the curse? Cursed in the field, cursed in the city, cursed in the basket, cursed in the store, cursed the fruit of the body, cursed in the land, cursed of the increase of the kine, the flocks, the sheep, and you'll be a cursing and a vexation and a rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand to. There's going to be a pestilence, there's going to be consumption, there's going to be inflammation, there's going to be burning, there's going to be a sore, there's going to be blasting and mildew, and on and on and on these things go until, man, you say all this hinges on their obeying the ordinances and paying the tithe? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And the Lord said, you robbed me, now you're cursed, and you're wondering what's up. Okay? That is Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. You bless me with your tithe, all the nations shall call you blessed. You'll be a delightsome land. You quit paying your tithe, they'll be on you like bad on a bully. And they are going to try to destroy you. And you're not going to do well in your farming. And you're not going to do well in your economy. And you're not going to do well in war until I get involved. Okay, now that's all to Israel. However, we can make application to the church out of what we've read here by comparing some things that are in the text to what's going on today. The tithe is still the Lord's today. Nothing's changed. People say, well, the tithe is not mentioned in the New Testament. It is in the book of Hebrews, and I realize it's in the context of what was going on in the Old Testament. But it is mentioned in the New Testament. And nothing's going to change the fact that a tenth is still his. Nothing's changed that. Calvary did not change the fact that a tenth of the production is the Lord's. It is his. And, you know, it's interesting enough, but you get Christian families that aren't tithing. They want to be a cheerful giver with about 1% of their income or something like that. God gets the tithe. He gets the tithe. I mean, it comes out of your pocket. It may go to pay a hospital bill or a lawyer fee or some other thing like that, but I'll tell you, you take care of God and God's business, God will take care of you and your business. The storehouse in Malachi is similar to the church. It is not the church. This is not doctrinally for the church, but it is similar to the church, and we can make application. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So they're collecting money for the saints down in Jerusalem. And what does he say? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Just like they had in the Old Testament. Lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall appoint by your letters, him will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. So what did he say? He said, you lay it by in store, as God hath prospered him. All right, and the place to do that is the church. That's why we have a weekling offering. What's it for? Why should the church get it? Well, it's for the maintenance of the minister. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul goes through a whole detail in this chapter on the ministry. But he says in verse 6, or I only and Barnabas have not we power to forbear working? Can't we quit working? And the answer is yes. Verse 7, who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? Nobody. A soldier wants to get paid. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Nobody. When a man plants a vineyard, he's got good grapes, he's going to eat those grapes. Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Nobody. If you're a farmer and you've got somebody, you know, like a animal producing milk, you're going to take that milk and you're going to make butter and cheese and soap, depending on whether it's a goat, and drink, you know, milk to drink and biscuits and all kinds of other things that you can make with that milk and produce off that flock. Verse 8, say, have these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, he answers his own question. No doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? You see that? Now, Paul said, we're not going to hinder the gospel of Christ, so we're not taking it. But we have the right to take it. That's what he said. We have the right to take it, and because we have the right to take it, then you need to provide it. Spiritual things are replenished or are reaped in carnal things when the minister is ministering. Okay? So these are the things that are going on. They're for the service of the people in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is your body now. So, you know, to say, well, how great it is to be in the house of the Lord when you're on church on Sunday, you're in the house of the Lord all the time. That's your temple. You need to be careful about that. And you know something? When you tithe, the Lord does bless. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to prosper you, as we told you about Paul and Jesus, but he's going to bless you. And the reason he's going to bless you, he's going to bless you to give. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, he's going to bless you to give. All right, in Ephesians chapter 4, he says this, let him that stole steal no more, verse 28, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have, what? To give to him that needeth. God said, I'll bless you so much you'll be able to take care of other people when they have a need. Now, the trouble does come. It makes it difficult sometimes to be able to pay this tithe and so forth, and the question comes, then what are you going to do? Well, I've watched it over and over again, and I'll tell you two things about it as we wrap up this broadcast. Number one, people have come to me and said, how am I going to be able to pay my bills with 90% of my income when I can't pay my bills with 100% of my income? And every one of them that started doing it can tithe, no problem. God takes care of that. He sees to it. All right? Second thing, the people say, well, God loveth the cheerful giver. Yeah, well, they gave 100%. If you read Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, you'll see they sold houses and possessions and lands in order to be able to support the ministry and support the poor saints in the church. Are you willing to do that? You say, well, no. Then why don't you tithe? Paul didn't have to write about the tithe, about those people that were given 100%. But he does have to write about it to us in the scripture. Make these applications so you'll understand nothing changed at the cross as it concerns the tithe.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.